Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel podcast. My name is Jonathan Downs, and I am the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Canberra, Australia. I'm delighted that you are listening to this message, and my prayer is that this word will bless your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you are interested in a personal Bible study, we would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.calvarychapel.com.au to get in contact with us, or if you want to find out more about our church. Thanks for joining us, and let's go to the Word of God.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our special Mother's Day service. Today we gather not only to worship our Lord, but also to honour the incredible mothers in our lives. And Ephesians 6, 1-3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." So today, I'd like to honour the mothers, the grandmothers, and mother figures that are joining us. Your love, care, and guidance are a blessing to your family and to our church community. And I would also like to give honour to my beautiful mum, Teresa. She is what I classify as a super mum. Even though she raised so many of us and we were all pretty cheeky, she always showed kindness, gentleness, and love in everything that she did. I love you, Mum, and thank you for all that you do. So why don't we join together and open our service in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful that we can gather here on this beautiful Sunday, Lord, that we can take the time to worship you and to honor our mothers. Lord, we just pray for a blessing upon each of the mothers that are here today, each of the grandmothers, the mother figures. We pray that they would feel your love, your care, all of who you are, Lord Jesus, that we would feel you here this morning. Be with us and have your way in this service. We pray in Jesus' name.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to every mothers and grandmothers. And first, I would like to thank Pastor and Sister Melanie for this opportunity, even though I was thinking for the last few days. For me as a mom, being a mom, especially a first-time mom, is a blessing from God. And it is not easy. Sleepless nights, busyness of the day, and sometimes you don't even have time for yourself. But I believe that it is a ministry building the life of your child in the love of the Lord. So soon after my daughter was born, things turned into pear shape very soon. There was time when I felt that I will never hold and see my daughter grow up, as there were a lot of chaos. And as a first-time mom, you know, I always wanted to have experience, or, you know, they put her on your chest and you get to experience those things. But I didn't have that. So there was a lot of things. But in the midst of it, God is good. He brought people into my life at the right time and at the right moment. The first weeks was a blur, and it's still a blur, as both of us were not very well. And the first 3 months I found was the hardest time for me. And I was so consumed on focus on how to do things right, to make sure I was doing things right with her and for myself. And I was still praying, not that I was not praying, but I honestly feel like my prayer was, it didn't even reach the ceiling of the roof. I feel like it was just coming down straight on me. But one day I had something clicked in me, and I believe it was my faith in God that lifted me up again. Hallelujah. And I knew that God was with me, and I knew that God was with me all along, but I just needed to believe again that He was really with me. And I know that I know that my faith is in Him alone. I cannot put my trust into everything that I was thinking and things that I thought it was doing, that I was doing the right thing, even though it was the right thing. I need to remind myself that God is first in everything that I do, and I need to seek Him again, deeper and deeper. So, and it felt like God was telling me just to talk to me again. I started to talk to God properly again and dig deep in my relationship with God. And as I said, God brings people into my lives at the right time and at the right moment in many ways. Either we're at home or in the hospital, in and out. And I'm telling myself that This is a new season in my life that God has blessed me with. And regardless of what is happening, I will enjoy it and knowing that Jesus loved her and more than I love her.
Yes.
And Jesus used me as a vessel, you know, to be a part of her life. And I just want to encourage a new mother or a parent that you are doing very well and you are trying your best. And when you are overwhelmed, stressed, and not sure what to do, talk to God again, even though you don't feel like it. Renew your faith in Him, knowing that He will hear you and be with you, for He is a good and a faithful God.
Amen.
And God is with you, and He loves you. And I truly believe that God gave you your child because He knows that you can do it.
Yes.
He made you a mother for your child, regardless of what you are facing. Because He knows you are the best one for your child. So don't give up. Instead, give it to God and praise His name. Thank you.
Good morning, church. And happy Mother's Day to all my sisters. I'm a little bit nervous, so please excuse my shaky voice. Thank you, Sister Melanie, for asking me to speak this morning. I'd like to share how God has been working in my mum's life and my family's. My mum is one of my best friends, closest confidant, and biggest supporter. When something great happens or something awful, she is the person I call. She helped me raise my boys and provides them with so much support. She is their biggest cheerleader. In 2018, mum was diagnosed with uterine serous carcinoma, an aggressive and uncommon form of cancer. As part of the diagnosis, the sample of cells that were tested were found to be full of cancer. We were told that the prognosis was not good and life expectancy at 5 years was low, depending on the grade of cancer. Surgery was the first form of treatment, likely to be followed by chemotherapy, as only 5% of people with this cancer did not require it. My son Alex and I prayed for my mum. We asked other people we know, including some of the ladies at this church, to pray for her as well. During this time, Alex received a word from God. My dad was driving him to music lessons, trying to prepare him for dealing with the difficult season that we had coming. He felt God say to him that when they pulled out my mum's uterus, they would find no cancer, which he then shared with my dad. My dad replied with, "Well, wouldn't that be wonderful?" During mum's surgery, I spent some time praying that all would be well. I felt a word come to me over and over. You just need faith as small as a mustard seed. I knew that God was with us. After the surgery, the surgeon came to see Dad and I. She said that normally she never looks at this, but due to the amount of cancer that was in the sample, she wanted to have a look inside mum's uterus and was surprised that there was no visible evidence of abnormal cells. Later, when the pathology came back, there was no evidence of cancer cells. Mum did not require any further treatment and made a full recovery. Not only was she in the 5%, but as God said would happen, she was cancer-free.
Praise God. Praise
God. After hearing about all that God had done, Mum began to look for a renewed relationship with God. My parents hadn't attended church for many, many, many years and had become disenchanted with the church they were attending and the lack of what they saw of Christian faith and God's power. She now attends church regularly, prays daily, and loves Jesus. In April last year, we had some more devastating news. Mum was diagnosed with mesothelioma, an asbestos-related cancer. This is unrelated to her previous cancer and was a massive shock for all of us. She was extremely unwell and in a lot of pain. She was unable to sleep, couldn't walk very far, and was very breathless. The prognosis was dire. On average, mesothelioma patients have a life expectancy of 6 months without treatment and an average of 2 years with treatment. This time, surgery wasn't an option, and she elected to have treatment with immunotherapy. Again, we prayed for God's intervention and to provide healing, and I thank so many people in this church that have prayed for my mum, as well as my mum's church and so many of our friends. I continued to remember God's message to me last time. I just need to have faith as small as a mustard seed. By November, the side effects of the treatment were impacting her life significantly. The decision was made to stop immunotherapy and commence treatment to deal with the side effects. At this time, a scan was also done, which had shown that the tumour had shrunk dramatically. I think it was by about half. 3 months later, with no further treatment for the cancer, another scan has shown that the tumour continued to shrink. Pain medication's been reduced, and Mum was able to return to doing things that she loved, like travelling and exercising regularly. 1 year post-diagnosis, Mum is doing really well, taking very little pain medication and living her best life, thanks to God and the power of prayer.
Yes.
God has once again shown himself faithful in our family. The latest scan has shown the tumour has started to grow slowly, but right now there is no impact on her everyday life. I thank God for the work he has done in her life, for showing her the way back to him and for giving us more time. And I know I just need faith as small as a mustard seed. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, "For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." At the start of the year, Sister Melanie gave us all a mustard seed at the ladies' breakfast and reminded us of the importance of faith. This I hold true and near to me as we continue to walk this difficult journey, knowing that God is walking with us.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan and Sister Melanie, for giving me this opportunity to speak. Praise God. I think my son have advertised a lot of cookings, so now I'm in trouble. I told him, when you get married, I'm going to pray for you, and I release you, go to your wife. And he looked at me and he said, "But Mom, what about my food? I'm going to employ you as my fine chef." I said, no, you can come to my house and eat, but I'm not coming to cook for you. Praise God, that's how kids are.
Right.
Praise the Lord. As a woman of faith, a woman of faith puts her trust in God because she can't hang on to anything for sure, but she hangs on to God. She believes in God, she trusts in God, and all she knows, her world is filled with God because of the situations around, for her kids, for her family, she stands in God. Now, the role of a mother, you never asked for it, you never signed up to be a security officer, but you are one. Like it or not, you're one. You are the one that keep the watch, keep the lookout for your children. You are the one that prays for them. You are the one that goes down on your knees when everyone is sleeping, and you are the one that faces all the storms that come most of the time. And as a woman of faith, for me, I always take the word of God and I read the word of God and I speak the word of God over my children, over my family, and I see tremendous miracles happening. I can't be prepared at that moment for something to happen to pick up a word and speak. As a security officer, you are ready with a weapon. And that weapon, you got to be ready and just pick it out in time. When the enemy comes in, and before the enemy comes in, you are in defense and you are protecting your family. For me, I keep the word of God. I write it down, and for the promises of God, for my children, for my life, and in any situation, I just take the word of God. Like the world out there, when you send your kids to school, you're not sure what they are learning in school. You can do your small best by advising them, but sometimes that advice, you don't know if it sticks on them. But the only way you can be very sure is with the promises of God. You claim the promise of God and you say, "All my children shall be taught by the Lord. Lord, your word says, great shall be the peace of my children." I pray and I say, "God, all my children, Divine and Samuel, shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children." If people tells you, Your child is not doing well in school, or is there a remark that people gives you, I don't know, this is not good, that is not good. No, you say the Lord will perfect that which concerns my child. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. You speak to your child. You speak to that situation. As a woman of faith, don't let any negative word come out of your mouth. You speak the positive things of God over their life. You say, you are great. You are born to be great. You are born to be a success. You are not a failure. If they tell you, Mom, I think I'm a failure. I think I can't do this. No, you can do it. Because the word of God says, you are born into greatness. God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You need to be there. You speak to them. Don't ever use a word of condemnation over your children and say, yeah, I know you are useless. I know you can't do this. I know you are like that. Never. Always speak life into them. Speak the word of God into them. The more I've trained them from small, I spend 10 minutes a day just sitting down with them in the night and just teaching them Bible study. Just giving them small Bible study. And I can't believe the amount of questions they have. Even as small as 2-3 years old, they started having questions. They keep asking me. And I keep spending my time explaining to them, this is what God says. And it gives you that excitement that your children are growing in God up to today. I thank God, and my testimony is all over me, all over my family. The work of God is so great in our lives. God is doing it, and I know many of you here, the Lord is working in your life also. In my children, when there's a situation that comes up, and they call me and they say, Mom, this so-so problem I'm having, I just tell them, okay, don't worry, it's fine. And I text them, and I give them prayer points, and I give scriptures. And when they speak the word of God, there's so much of power. After lunchtime, they call me and tell me, Mom, everything is great. I did my exam well. My boss was good. You see the power in the word of God. Nothing can stop you from speaking the word of God. Amen. And as parents, live an exemplary life. As a woman of faith, our life should be an example. Yes. Giving too much of advice might not really work. But your life example matters a lot. Your children see you, and if you make one mistake, how do you know that your exemplary life is working? You make one mistake and they tell you, but Mom, you don't do that. It's surprising. So you know they're watching you. Every move you take, every word you speak, the way you handle situations, they are looking at you. So as a woman of faith, rise up, woman of faith. It's no time to go back to the days where we sit down and we weep over problems. Take the promises of God. Yes. Go to the Google, look for promises. Promises for protection. Promises to keep your family safe. Rise up, woman of God. Take the word of God. Speak over your children's life. Don't be prepared only when the enemy comes in. Be prepared even before the enemy comes in. In that way, you have built a hedge round about them. And God is faithful to take care of our families. God bless you.
Good morning, church. My name is Grace, as Sis Melanie has already said. Sis Melanie asked me to speak today about what it means to me to be a woman of faith. Even though I'm a bit nervous, I'd like to say thank you, Sis Melanie and Pastor. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not seen. In simple language, it's what we believe in. As God's children, we are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. We all know that in times of uncertainty, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. It feels like we have no control over things. We are assured we can find place of comfort and peace in God's word. That's what has been working for me in my life. The same belief we have in Jesus as our Lord and Savior is the same belief we can have for every other promise found in his word. We just have to hold on to these promises. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. The greatest enemy of our faith is fear. When we are faced with difficult situations, fear tries to override our belief in Jesus. This is the time to use our greatest weapon, which is faith, Amen. Our shield of faith,
yes.
Because it gives us hope. We may not always feel powerful, but when we operate in faith, there's nothing that we cannot overcome. If we have faith that God will supply our needs, even if we don't know how he's going to do it, we can choose to rest and have peace in his promises. He has promised never to leave or forsake us. In Matthew 17:20, which Sis Kelly has already quoted, Jesus told his disciples that if they had the smallest amount of faith, as small as a mustard seed, nothing would be impossible for them. And the same scripture is still applicable today. How I have been a woman of faith as a mother. And on my journey as a mother, I've been a widow and single parent for the past 17 and a half years. My faith has kept me going, and I can never thank God enough for it. I came to Australia from South Africa in March 2007 with my daughter, who was only 11 years old then. And I left my older son at home because we were supposed to come only for 2 years. The period of adjustment was very difficult for us. In South Africa, Mosa had lots of extra curricular activities that kept her busy almost every day. For example, she had piano lessons, swimming, netball, and Crew and Cross Kids, which was a children's Christian activities group. So when we got here, her whole life shrank to nothing in front of my eyes. Oh, it was so hard. We didn't know anyone, and she didn't have any activities, not even homework. Because in South Africa, they were given lots of homework. Her week was packed, so I felt like I was losing my daughter. Being away from our loved ones made it worse. It was so difficult, and I felt guilty as a mother. So I promised her that when we go home in December, you will stay. I'll come back because I had a 2 years contract. That was in Shepparton. I said, I'll stay because I always like to finish what I've started. And you'll stay back with family. July that year, I booked her ticket. That's when I got my daughter back. And day by day, we would count. I had a book. We had like lines with dates in them, the column. Every day, we would count, cross out one day. And that's when I got her back. I got her smile back. I got my little girl back. By October, she was well adjusted and willing to come back. So the rest is history. Through faith, I've seen the goodness of God in my life. My favorite scripture is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are here.
All the ladies who shared this morning, what a blessing you have been to all of us. Thank you so much. So motherhood is such a privilege and such an honour. And in looking at today, I saw a quote from Mother Teresa, and she says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. And it's so true, isn't it? And mothers, we have the beautiful opportunity, whether it's our biological children or whoever we have influence over, we have the opportunity to speak those words of life, Sister Lily, into other people and change the world through loving the people around us. So I want to share this morning a little bit about faith. The ladies have spoken about faith this morning. And one of the well-known scriptures about faith, we all know it, is Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Hall of Faith by some, or the Great Sermon of Faith. And it's no doubt it's the most extensive portion of scripture about faith in the New Testament. But still, there are some misconceptions that we can have about faith. Some might see it as, they say, he is a person of faith. It's a form of spirituality. Some might see faith to mean that it's a resolute belief that something good is going to happen with our health or our wealth.
or some people might just see it as a blind leap of faith against all the known facts that they have. But none of those are a biblical definition of faith. And we've heard it here. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 starts with a concise definition of faith. You can say it with me. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. You can see up there in the New Living Translation, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. So when we look at the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, we can see that it is a great, that it contains that great chapter of faith. Before it, in chapter 10, we read encouragement for persevering faith. Then chapter 11 defines faith and gives us all the examples of those men and women of faith. And then Hebrews chapter 12 points us to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, it says, we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones, those who will be saved. You know, when I read scriptures of like that, I'm reminded that, you know, our community of believers are not just the people here in this room. They're a community of believers around our country and around our world that we join together with, but also throughout history. There's a community of believers that we stand with that have been through trials and struggles, and they declare that we are the faithful ones, those who will be saved. And we can join them in saying that as well. Then we get to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And I think there's, maybe we've skipped some slides, but that's okay. I think the next one talks about Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. And you can see some of the meanings of those words. So let's go through it. Now, faith, belief, trust, and confidence is the substance. It's the assurance, the steadiness, the guarantee. I like this. It's the title deed of things hoped for. We expect, we actively wait for God's fulfillment. And it's the evidence, the proof, the test, the convictions of things not seen. It's beautiful, isn't it? We really, I would love you just to dwell on that for a little bit and really understand what faith is. We know, for by it, it says, the men of old obtained a good testimony. They gained approval and a good report. So the Great Hall of Faith, in chapter 11, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's very intentional and deliberate in how the author mentions what he does. It goes through the stories of the Old Testament, starting at Genesis 1 and walks itself through the Old Testament histories. And I just want to go through a little bit of that today. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Four starts off by faith, Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Through his faith, though he died, it says that his life still speaks to us. And what a beautiful legacy that is, to be recorded and know that through his faith and his life, it's recorded for us to read. Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. The next one it mentions is Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. We don't read much about Enoch, other than he didn't die. God took him. So Enoch lived about 400 years before Noah. And in the days of Noah, we know that the earth was very wicked and they lived a long time. So even though 400 years seems a long time for us, relatively, it probably wasn't. So we can assume that the world was very wicked when Enoch lived. We know that Enoch lived righteously and he was set apart. So he must have been quite different from those around him. Before he was taken, we read in Scripture that he pleased God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So with faith, it is possible to please God. Next in this chapter, we read about Noah. It says, by faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his family. We think about the life of Noah, looking to the unseen. He couldn't see what he was acting for. He looked to the unseen and he acted and behaved differently because of what he didn't see but he believed was coming. He knew there was a flood coming, so he changed his behaviour. His faith changed his actions and his choices. Think about how unseen that was for Noah. You know, where Noah lived, I don't know, back in those days, they may not have gone on holidays to the coast or the beach. He might not have even seen a great expanse of water. And when we know when boats and ships are being built, they're built in what's called a shipyard. And where are shipyards usually? They are near great expanses of water so that it allows easy access for the ships to go off into the water. Where was Noah's shipyard? It was in the desert. We don't hear that Noah questioned God. He just built it. The assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Noah's faith changed his actions. And then we read about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go. God said, go to a land that I will show you. He didn't show him there and then. He said, I will show you. Just go. Head there and I'll show you. God didn't show him. Abraham didn't know exactly where he was going, but his faith and his belief and confidence in what was to come changed his actions and behaviours then in that present time. Then we read about Sarah. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. She considered him faithful who had promised. Did she always do that though? No, she did not. She didn't. She actually has a lot of unbelief for most of her story. But God waits until all hope is gone. And then in the scripture it says, and so a whole nation came from this one man, Abraham, who was as good as dead. Poor Abraham, as good as dead. That's not something I would like to be remembered for. They were too old to become parents. They had waited 25 years for God to fulfill his promise to them. Is there anything too hard for God? Not at all. Nothing is too hard for him. Hebrews 11, verse 12 to 16, it says, they died in faith, not having received the things promised. Why? Because they desired something better. Their faith changed how they lived. Their faith changed their decisions they made. Their faith changed the way they parented. Their faith changed how they reacted in situations. We go on and we read about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and we know by faith, I love this, by faith, Joseph told his family to take his bones when they go back to the promised land. He had faith in what was to come, in the unseen. We read about Moses' parents, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Out of all of these people mentioned in Hebrews 11, we know none of them were perfect. And even as we read their names, we can automatically think of the way they lived and the decisions they made. But all of them knew their God. All of them looked to God as the one who would keep them to save them in their situation. They had confidence and assurance in who their God was and his character. They believed him to be true and that he would fulfill exactly what he said. And their names are written because they gained a good report and a good testimony. So on this Mother's Day, we've heard from four beautiful mothers who are women of faith. They have a good testimony, and we've heard it today. In the Bible, we read, I mentioned Sarah before, she's the mother who waited. Hagar was a mother who endured. Rebecca was a mother who believed. Jochebed was a mother with a plan. Samson's mother, she was a mother who followed rules. Naomi was the mother-in-law who shared her faith. Hannah was a mother who kept her promises. Elizabeth was a mother who believed in miracles, and Mary is the mother who is blessed among women. Their faith is shown in what they did. These men and women of God changed their behaviour because of their faith in God. By faith, Noah built. By faith, Abraham went. By faith, Moses gave up things. There was action that followed their faith. James 2:18 says, yea, a man can say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Real faith shows itself in action. By faith, these people did something. So what can we learn from these heroes of faith? We want a good reputation, a good report. We want to be spoken about by our example of faith, like in verse 4. These people knew their God. They displayed a confidence in who he was and his character. We know none of them were perfect, but they followed after God all the way to the end. They endured. So having faith doesn't shelter us from the storms of life. And indeed, the outcome of our faith might actually not be what we expect. As we've seen in the examples of faith, we see that faith comes into play in a variety of life circumstances, and the results are various. Some get rescued, others succeed in life and get some of what God promised in their lifetimes. But we also read in this chapter that others were mocked and beaten and tortured, put in prison and killed. Faith is sometimes rewarded sooner and sometimes later. But people of faith anticipate the rewards because of their confidence in who God is. Hebrews 11:39-40, it says that they didn't receive what was promised. They didn't reach perfection. Or that word also means completion. They did not get to see the neat and clean ending to their story. They died with the story still in motion. They didn't know how it will end. Faith in what is unseen. How much more should we have faith? We cling to the substance. We look back on the finished work of the cross, but then we turn and look to the second coming of Christ. And we don't know when, we don't know where. That's our unseen. But we can look to Jesus now because we have that promise. And Hebrews 12, we know it. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So no matter what season of motherhood you're in, have faith in God. Continue to hold on to the promises that you have been given. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Even when you can't see ahead of your circumstances, even when things seem impossible, whether you're going through a valley today or if you're on the mountaintop, we need to be a woman of faith. So we have a gift here for each one of the ladies, and inside these boxes is a jar, which I almost threw away earlier, a little jar, and in that jar is scriptures. The living and powerful word of God. And on days, or you can take it, put it, I don't know, take it to work, put it on your kitchen windowsill, wherever. On the days that seem hard, we can reach for a scripture. And on the days that are joyful, we can reach for a scripture. On the days where you feel alone, you can reach for a scripture. On the days when you're bursting with thanksgiving, reach for a scripture. And on the days when things are difficult, we can reach for a scripture. They're even color-coded for you to make things easier. But also in this box is a handkerchief. And that's kind of a little bit old-fashioned for some. But I thought it would be nice to keep close, because although it's useful, to me it kind of represents ministry. You know, when our children fall and hurt themselves or crying, or you see someone needing that, you can pass it on. And when we cry, when we have tears in our hearts and in our eyes, it's something we can use. So right now I'm going to take a little bit of creative license, if you would allow me. And I'd like all the mums to come up, maybe boys, and Jonathan, if you'd like to help hand out the gifts to all our mothers here today, because we do honour you and we want to bless you. But as you come, please start to come now. Someone has to be first. I'm going to use some of your names and I'm going to read out some statements about women of faith. Amen. Sister Naomi, you're first. By faith, Sister Naomi extends a hand of forgiveness to those who have wronged her, choosing love over bitterness and reconciliation over resentment. By faith, Sister Lisa perseveres in times of anxiety, trusting in God's promises to carry her through the storms of life. By faith, Sister Justine speaks words of encouragement and affirmation to those who are weary and downtrodden, lifting their spirits with the hope of Christ. By faith, Sister Bowler surrenders her fears and anxieties to the Lord, casting all her cares upon Him who cares for her. By faith, Sister Cheryl boldly proclaims the gospel message to those who are lost and searching for truth, sharing the hope that is found in Christ alone. By faith, Sister Dorcas demonstrates love towards her husband, steadfast and enduring, even when earthly recognition is scarce. By faith, Sister Agnes faithfully brings her children to the house of worship, recognizing the challenges of consistency, yet believing in the transformative power of spiritual nature. By faith, Sister Grace, in quiet moments of service, she examples faith through humble acts of kindness and compassion. Her hands, though unseen by the world, are instruments of God's grace, bringing light into the shadows and hope to the weary. Who else have we got? Sister Ruth. By faith, she prays fervently for her children's well-being, trusting in God's guidance and protection over their lives. By faith, Sister Jess serves her community with compassion and selflessness. This is true, seeing each person as a beloved child of God, deserving of love and support. By faith, Sister Grace nurtures a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness, recognizing God's blessings in both the big and small moments of life. Amen. I could go on and on. By faith, we do so much because we have trust in our God. We know who He is. So those things that are unseen, we can cling to and hold fast. Amen. Thank you for being women of faith. And we're going to actually join in a choir. Brother Akbar's going to lead us. We're going to sing together of God's goodness.